Jamie.
Welcome to the Canine Cooperative Podcast.
Hello, everyone. We are back for another fun-filled podcast.
Hello. So we are on the road right now, and we thought we'd podcast.
We'd hop on and have a conversation with you all. So today we were talking, and our topic today is, are you considering your dog in your relationship? And what we mean is not in your relationship with your partner, human. We mean in your relationship between you and your dog.
So are you considering feelings and emotions and well-being?
And personal preferences.
And personal preferences within your relationship. So what does some of that stuff look like?
Well, I think this would help with this conversation is just having a little context, right? So we get a lot of people who are struggling with their dogs. And one of the common reasons is that it doesn't always come down to behavior factors, what the dog is doing. What it comes down to a lot of is that the human had a preconceived notion of what owning their dog would look like for them.
Right. So having that vision in your head when you bring home that dog about what you guys are going to do together in the rest of your life. And sometimes things don't go as planned.
Yeah. Because your dog is a living, organic being who has thoughts and feelings of their own, which surrounds around their personal preferences. And we see this a lot in people who have dog reactive dogs.
Yes.
They come to us with this hope that if they do all the training, their dog, who doesn't like to be in close, intimate contact with other dogs
or other people
or what have you, will all of a sudden become a happy-go-lucky, friendly, doesn't mind dogs jumping on their face, doesn't mind people molesting them dog.
And so what training does, so our focus when we start working with people is less actually about the training, especially in the beginning, and more about learning to communicate with your dog and learning to understand what your dog is telling you so you can better help them navigate situations. So where we deal with obedience is more along the lines of helping your dog make correct decisions in order for them to be more comfortable.
Yes.
Which is what in turn will stop or cut back reactivity or, you know, other behaviors that you see as a result of your dog's emotional outbursts in those situations where they're overwhelmed.
Yeah. And so the reason why we bring this topic up is because a lot of our conversations with humans surrounding this, we've noticed that people have this idea that of what dog ownership should look like and what their dog should be doing or how they should be behaving as a direct reflection of them. So things like we'll hear, it's really embarrassing when my dog has a moment, or I really want I feel really bad when
someone can't say hi to my dog. Or having parties where your dog is running amongst your guests.
Right. And those things speak more to what you need in the relationship and how you want to be fulfilled by your dog in the relationship than it does say about
how you're fulfilling the relationship that you have with your dog.
Exactly.
For your dog.
And that's an important factor. And listen, we're not here to excuse behaviors in your dog. We're not here to tell you let your dog do whatever they want. Like, that's not who we are. But there's a really real factor in your dog has their own personal preferences. Your dog might not like having their face jumped on by random dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they're not dog friendly. It just means they want to have a couple of controlled meetings first to get to know and like and trust the dog that they're going to be hanging out with and have friends. And that's okay.
Well, and that's often a very confusing topic, I think, for a lot of dog owners, because they'll be like, I don't understand why he's all Cujo on the leash. And then in the dog park, he's fine.
Yeah.
Right? So it's about really understanding how those situations make your dog feel and how you can more appropriately handle that kind of stuff. And if your dog is that dog that doesn't like greetings on a leash, then that's just not how he greets other dogs, and that is okay.
And that's okay. And that's one of those things where if you're putting your emotional need to be seen a certain way, or that, or you have, a lot of times people have human socialization expectations of dogs, and human socialization and dog socialization do not work the same way. So they think, oh, well, you have a dog, you have a being in a dog suit, I have a being in a dog suit. They have to be friends, and if they're not friends, there's something wrong with the dog.
Right.
But that's not always how it goes. That's not how...
Well, that's honestly not even how it goes in humans. Like, well, what didn't Cammy say the other day? When you guys were walking away, she was like, I'm not friends with him. I just want you to know.
Yes. Yes. I was talking with another mom who had a kid my 5-year-old's age. And I was like, why don't you go play while the moms are talking? And so she did, begrudgingly. And then she walks away and she's like, I just want you to know I'm not really friends with him. I'm like, fair enough. You just met this kid. And I've known his mom a couple of times, you know, and that was fine. But like, those are...
Yeah, there's nothing, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
And we do that for ourselves where we're like, yeah, no, like, Sabrina can talk to a freaking wall. We walk in places, she strikes up conversations with people. I'm like, oh, how long have you known that person? She's like, that guy? I just was standing there.
Five minutes. We go way back.
I'm like, way oh. Back. Meanwhile, most people who meet me for the first time tell me that I'm scary. And then, like, it takes them about, I don't know, 6 meetings for them to be like, oh, she's not so bad. Right?
It's a long growth process.
And my small talk is like, so there's weather. How about it? You know, like, I don't know. I guess I don't show well. I don't know. But I'm not this outgoing, vivacious person like Sabrina is, like, on initial meeting. It takes me a little while to feel comfortable with people, to warm up and not be stupid, socially awkward. But that's just my personal preference style. And that's Sabrina's personal preference style. And dogs have the same thing. And a lot of times we humans can get so hung up on, I have to make my dog friendly so that when Uncle Bobby comes over for the 4th of July, he can pet my dog because Uncle Bobby loves dogs.
Right. Well, and I always tell people in those situations, because that's what it is. I think that there's a underlying embarrassment or...
judgment.
View of judgment, yeah. When the dog doesn't comply to the other person's wishes, like the stranger. And it's like, most of the times, like, you see this, like, in when you're just out and about with your dog, right, taking him for a walk or things like that, and someone wants to interact with them. And I tell people, like, that 15 second interaction that you're gonna have with this stranger that you'll probably never see again,
or a strange dog
is going to account for the next 15 years of your life with this dog.
Yeah.
That you have a relationship with, not the person or the dog coming in for that, yeah, hot second.
Mm-hmm. Or things like, you'll hear, if you're on a walk with your dog and somebody has a stupid friendly dog or a puppy, you'll hear this a lot when people have, mm-hmm, puppies. Oh my gosh, can he say hi? Can she say hi? And then if you say no, they're like, oh, why is he not friendly? Well, that makes you feel like shit.
Right? Well, it's like, no, he just... Buy him a drink first.
Right.
Like, I feel like that goes back to what you're saying about you and me. Like, if someone just came out of the blue and, like, just, like, jumped on top of me and hugged me, I probably wouldn't give a shit. But I can't even imagine if someone did that to you.
I'd be in jail. If someone jumped on top of
me. But that doesn't
mean,
like, you know, take her out for some, like...
Some tequila.
Some Añejo and, like, you know...
I'm a great
thief.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to buy him a drink first.
I just need a drink. First.
I'm easy.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. Hussy.
You are. But like, so like those types of things, like the whole stigma around it, and this is why we come back to relationships so much, is that are you considering what your dog wants or needs? Or even something as like, it's even something as like, people get dogs nowadays to be emotional support animals.
Yes.
Or service animals. I'm using air quotes here. But is the dog cut out for that task? Like, just because you want the dog to be with you everywhere mm-hmm. to fulfill your emotional need, is that what the dog wants to do or can do? Because I see a lot of people adopting dogs as puppies and seeing them want to turn this dog into an emotional support
animal. Well, they have very high expectations yeah. and hopes for a dog that we don't even know their personality yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And like that's one of those
And there's things,
where
you can do to like help influence things sure. and make things more positive. But when it comes down to it, and especially like I don't want to get on this soapbox right now because that's a whole other podcast.
Oh yeah.
But the whole service animal thing, even in quality breeding programs.
Yeah.
The amount of dogs that wash out from being like a service dog.
Yeah.
Is immense.
It's immense.
It's more than half.
Well, and just even down to, like, let's say emotional support. Maybe they're not trained to retrieve anything, but mm-hmm. you want to be able to take your dog everywhere. Well, if you have a naturally shy, skittish, insecure dog that doesn't do well in overwhelming situations, that's not, like, they're not going to thrive in that quote-unquote job. Mm-hmm. They're going to be terrified, and then you're going to be wondering why your dog's reactive, nipping at people, like, anxiety ridden, all of these things, because you're trying to force a round peg into a square hole
mm-hmm.
and it's just not going to fit. And but your need to have your idea fulfilled of I need to have an emotional support animal, or I need my dog to be this, I need my dog to allow random strangers in a store to molest them
mm-hmm.
because of how that makes me feel, is tripping up your relationship with your dog, because you're not considering your dog as a being who has personal preferences in a relationship.
Right.
I kind of liken it to, like, sure, like, you can take your dog places, and they can be able to handle that, but their personal preferences of, like, I don't like dogs jumping on my face, or I don't like strangers touching me, is kind of like my dislike of lima beans. Like, no matter how much chocolate or how you cook it or what you disguise it in, I'm sorry, I'm just
no matter how much chocolate?
How much? No. Well, I just, no, it's a, no, no.
Can't drown out that lima bean.
No. I'm never going
to
like
You're
lima
gonna
beans.
You're going to get to it at some
point. Never. That's a personal preference. It's not going to change no matter how you package it. Sure, but I'll get my vegetables and my legumes another way. Thank you very much. But that's kind of the same thing as your dog going, I don't like greeting dogs on leash, or I don't like being in crowds of people, or I don't like those types of things. You can coach your dog on how to handle it. Granted, I'm not throwing plates of lima beans across the restaurant because it's like
she just kindly puts them on her bread plate and moves along.
Move along. And so you
But that's a good picture to paint, because like realistic expectations, if you have a dog that doesn't like to be greeted on leash by other dogs, a reasonable expectation and a way to coach a dog through that is, okay, keep your shit together.
Yeah.
I will not allow the dog to come into your space, but we can all kind of sit here and coexist. That is a compromise within a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's how you get your dog to be more comfortable in those environments and possibly maybe yield some sort of behavior change. But you have to honor the fact of what makes them comfortable and uncomfortable and advocate for what makes them comfortable.
Absolutely. And because I keep coming back to relationship, because everyone says, like, my dog is my baby. My dog is my child.
But you wouldn't put your child in half the situations that people put their dogs in.
Absolutely. You wouldn't be doing this or forcing these situations onto your kid. And if you did and your kid acted out, you wouldn't take it personally that it was a reflection of you on poor parenting because your child was advocating for their personal space.
Right.
And that's something to consider when we talk about training, because sure, we can make the dog sit down, stay, come, heel, place, whatever. But what is it doing for your relationship? If you don't know how to use that communication,
because that's what it is at the end of the day. Obedience yeah. is just a move language. Your body in yeah. a certain way so I can help you feel
a certain way.
A certain way.
So if it's just sit on this place cot, sit on this box, indefinitely and forcing them to deal with that situation, that can really break your relationship with your dog, or like force your dog into a heel and march them headfirst into other dogs, mm-hmm. or make them sit there while other dogs sniff them all over or whatever. That can break your relationship with your dog. That can break trust with your dog real quick, because you're not hearing how your dog's feeling and coaching them into a better space so they can feel better.
Right. You're and just that's always them. What we tell clients is that you're advocating for your dog and their comfort.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why relationship is one of the, we talk about education for owners and dogs. We talk about relationship and lifestyle, because the way in which you live your life with your dog is what creates a better relationship. And when you have this reciprocal relationship of just stay straight, we're driving and I'm giving her directions. just stay straight and we're going to zip up and then get off Sloatsburg Road.
Okay, we're going.
She doesn't live around here. She just moved to this side of town. Merging.
And we've merged.
Excellent.
Alrighty.
Okay. Next podcast, nothing. Driving lessons with Danny. How to drive in Jersey. But these types of, that, how you live your life with your dog speaks volumes about the relationship you have with your dog. And that's what makes the difference. But if you're just considering, I got a dog because I want to be the dog mom that can take my dog to doggy birthday parties and the brewery and do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then your dog turns out to be the type of dog that hates that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's sad, but you've got to let go of the identity of what you thought dog ownership was going to be and become the dog parent that your dog needs them to be so you can have a successful relationship. And it's okay to tell people, no, Uncle Bobby, you cannot pet my dog.
And that's so important to note, because I think that's really where the judgment comes from, is, you know, the people being shamed for other people
yeah.
not being able to put their
emotional
intentions and yeah. baggage on their dog.
Yeah. And it's something we see often, because obviously we're taking dogs on outings out all the time. And whether the dogs that we're with are friendly or not, we often tell people, no, you can't pet the dog. And the response back is, it's okay, I'm a dog person. Well, we're not saying that as a reflection of who we think you are.
Right.
We're saying that because the dog that we have on leash needs us to advocate for them.
Yeah, the dog that we have on leash is not a people person.
Yeah.
A people dog.
And I think this also comes from the stigma that if your dog can't be public property, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term, it shouldn't be in public at all.
Yes. Oh, you get that all the time. Well, why are you bringing your dog out then?
Because he needs to come out, because he's my dog, because I want him with me. Just because the dog isn't public property, meaning just because every single person or dog that passes by cannot touch your dog, does not mean that you should be sequestered to a life of prison.
Right.
With
and,
your dog.
And it doesn't mean that you're a bad dog owner.
No, absolutely not. And I find it interesting because, again, people come back, my dogs are my babies. But if someone came up to me when I was out in a store with my children and was like, oh my God, can I kiss your kid? I love kids. I'd be like, no!
Get away, weirdo.
Like, ew! Or like if someone came up to me in ShopRite and was like, I have a kid, you have a kid, they should play right now.
Right.
I'd be like, no. Is your child okay? Is this like a trafficking situation? Like, this is not normal. Like, we do not play in the middle of a public space with children we don't know.
Right.
And even on And even on playgrounds, because playgrounds are kind of like dog parks, right? They're open to the public. You show up, you want your kid to have a good time on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't immediately run up to other children and make fast friends.
Right.
And even their, me as their mother, is I'm watching all of these little snot-faced children going, which one of these kids am I going to have to crack, like, come down on because they're being mean to my kid?
Right.
I am always...
Don't mess with the mama bear.
Yeah. Don't mess with the mama bear. I'm always there.
Oh, but that's interesting, too, because, like, in the dog park, it's always like, they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out, right? Not once did I ever allow any kid to start a fist fight with one of my kids and go, they'll figure it out.
It builds character.
They'll work out their hierarchy. No, that's not the way it goes. And even if I was in a situation where it was like, all right, well, I can't step in and correct somebody else's child, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my kids and I'm going to go.
Right.
Because I don't want them in that situation. And so we constantly say our dogs are our babies, our dogs are our family. And yet we have a very one-sided relationship. The dog is there to fulfill what we want mentally and emotionally and what we consider good dog ownership. But are we considering the dog? And that even goes back to the podcast we just did about you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a dog who is a super high energy dog who needs a lot of exercise and mental stimulation,
and that's not the lifestyle that you lead, you're going to have a lot of frustration on both of your ends.
Yeah, on both of your ends. And at the same time, if you have a dog who like wants to sleep all day and you're a like marathon runner, you got to have a little bit of compromise and go, well, I'll go for my marathon run and then come home to my dog.
Right.
Like, that doesn't mean you can't do things with your dog, but maybe they're not the dog who wants to be on a 4-day backpacking trip across the Rockies.
Right.
Like, that's not who they are. Like, maybe you should get a mountain
dog. I'm that kind of dog.
Right. Yes. So.
I'm that kind of dog. Leave me home.
There's compromise to be met, but I think there's not enough conversation around, like, your dog's personal preferences. Things like, your dog doesn't have to be everybody's dog. Your dog can be away when you have a Christmas party, mm-hmm, or a 4th of July party. Where's the dog? In the crate? Oh, why? Because he doesn't like being out around all these people.
Right.
Well, that's okay. And a lot of people feel like because they have a dog, the dog has to be out part of the family. Why? Because the human would feel bad if they weren't a part of the party.
Right. And ultimately, the dog feels more comfortable being isolated away from what's going on. And we're not saying that you shouldn't ever have your dogs out and work them through these situations, right, to, you know, have them have some more exposure and have them have positive interactions with these things that they struggle with. But that is a learning moment. That's not a, we'll just toss you in here and expect you to do okay because that's what I want.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that fine line of, because we do this in board and trains, right? When dogs have issues with certain things, we expose them to these things, but it's not like we do it in a manner of, you need to deal with this now.
No.
It's, how are you dealing with this? Let me help you find comfort in this space. And that ultimately is what helps your dog grow.
Yes, because you're.
But that still doesn't change the fact of how they feel.
Yes, because you're communicating. You're going, if I, like, sometimes I'm going to need you to keep yourself together during hard moments that you don't like. But then on the back end, I'm going to give you the space to decompress and do what you need, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff.
And always guide you in those moments that are difficult.
And advocate for your space. So I went on a road trip with my kids. It was 5.5 hours this past weekend. It was a hard car ride. Now, my kids and I have been traveling together since they were babies. So, like, we have road trip etiquette and all that kind of stuff. So we laid the foundation of expected behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But all of my kids, and I, myself included, I do not sit still well. I don't like being inside. We don't like being inside. We are outdoor people. We are active people. So being stuck in a tiny vehicle for 5.5 hours is exceedingly hard for us. I did the best I could to set them up for success, but I said, this is what we have to do.
And you brought the elements in human in a human perspective of comfort, right?
Yes.
Like activities for them to do while
snacks,
you're in the car,
like
snacks,
yeah.
things like that.
And then when we got to our destination, before I shoved them at like a dinner table at a restaurant or whatever, I was like, let's go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go outside. Let's run. We found a fun trail. We explored. We like foraged for wild berries. We had a great time. And
you're so outdoorsy.
I am. I'm outdoorsy.
We collected berries.
We did. We found a newt. We had a great time. But because the conversation surrounding that was, I know this situation makes you uncomfortable, but we've got to do it to get to a better place, to get to where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to give you what you need on the back end. And so what that does is it increases their ability for impulse control in the moment, because I'm being fair on the back end. And this happens with your dog, right? I need you to follow me past these dogs without freaking out. Once we get past, I'm gonna give you all the space you need to kind of decompress, sniff around, do whatever, have the space. I need you to be on place while I have people coming and going throughout the house while we're doing things and getting ready. But on the back end, I'm gonna take you in the backyard. I'm gonna take you for a hike. I'm gonna put you in a crate with a bone, like give you time to yourself so that you can decompress and your dog. And while you are dealing with your dog in that moment, you're still advocating for them. No, your dog cannot come up and greet my dog while it's on leash. No, you cannot pet my dog while they're on place. So you have this conversation within your relationship of, I understand you don't like these things. I need you to do this for me right now, and then I'll give you something for you on the back end. And that builds trust in your dog. And then what that does over time is it helps your dog rely on you so that you advocate for them, and then they don't feel the need to advocate for themselves in the dog way, which often looks like lunging, biting, growling,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And that's how you build a good relationship. But if you're constantly putting your ego of what you think your dog should be able to do because how you want to be viewed as a dog owner before your dog's needs, you're going to set yourself up for failure every single time across the board.
And you're going to ultimately set your dog up to fail every single time across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope you guys found this helpful. It's a conversation we have with a lot of dog people where you have to kind of evaluate yourself. And one of the things I love about dog training, it makes you very
self-aware
of what you're doing and what you're bringing to the table with your dog. If you guys have any podcast topics or questions or anything you wanted to address, just reach out to us. We're on Facebook, Instagram, the Canine Cooperative. DM us. We'd love to have topics to discuss. And I hope this podcast finds you well. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.